from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we have the pleasure of discussing the Giants' dramatic comeback 4-3 win last night over the Atlanta Braves. We will talk about the roster move that was made to get a middle infielder back onto the roster before the game. We'll go through the game notes, and there are quite a lot of them, so it's going to be jam-packed full of action from the game. But first, as always, we're going to talk about their record. With the win, the Giants improved to 21-26. The Dodgers also won last night, so the Giants remain 10 games back in the National League West, and they are still in last place. It was another one-run win for the Giants. They have a lot of those, and that is how they've been able to outperform their minus 44 run differential, which has an expected win-loss record of 19-28, so they're outperforming it by 2 wins still. But getting to the game itself, the most dramatic part, of course, was the Giants scoring 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth to come back and win the game, all with 2 outs. They had a runner on, 1 runner on with 2 outs down by 2, and we will get to that later, but we're going to run through the game notes up to that point first. And so the first thing to note is that The move that was made prior to the game, we speculated on the show about it yesterday. Was it going to be a DFA? Was it going to be Derek Holland or Travis Bergen designated for assignment? And no, the answer was it was another trip to the injured list for a pitcher. This time it was Travis Bergen to the injured list with a shoulder strain and Donovan Solano recalled from AAA. And normally if you send someone down like they did with Solano, they have to be down for a certain number of days, but you know, that was not reached, although that rule is lifted when that player is replacing somebody who's injured. So they were able to get around that with this loophole and get Solano back onto the roster. So to be honest, it's a savvy little maneuver. And a lot of Giants fans, because in my opinion of some of the media coverage of this that has been so negative unnecessarily, want to like blame the front office and say that this is destroying the Giants season or something like that. But this is a thing that teams do all the time. The Dodgers do this all the time, and they're the best team in the National League, and they've won the division this many years in a row. It's not like you can't win when you're shuffling around the roster. So that is not an excuse. That is not why the Giants are 10 games back and in last place. And anyway, even the 2010 San Francisco Giants with Brian Sabian and the rest of the front office at the time had a tendency to do this from time to time, including putting Guillermo Mota on the 15-day disabled list with IT band syndrome. And Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area even remarked that he was there when Guillermo Mota didn't know which leg it was in. So that was a fake injury. So let's just forget about this topic and leave the front office to make their procedural moves that they need to make. So anyway, the game itself, Sean Anderson was on the mound the night after Andy Suarez started. It was good to see two consecutive young Giants starting pitchers in the starting rotation, especially given how bad the starting rotation was in May up until they started to pull guys out and try new guys in those spots. So it was Anderson's second major league start. The first one to me was impressive. And again, this one was almost equally as impressive. I like his stuff. I like when he attacks the strike zone, he throws competitive pitches that have a chance to get hitters out. And he's got the sinking action with the fastball and the cutting action, both in the low to mid 90s, more like sitting kind of 93. Two nights ago, Ronald Acuna hit a leadoff home run against Suarez, but last night, Sean Anderson was able to strike him out to lead off the first inning. So I thought that was a big play in the game. Steven Duggar made a nice defensive play on Freddie Freeman in the first inning. He just continues to look like the far superior defender than Kevin Pillar. So it's great to see that they did eventually put Duggar in center field. Evan Longoria hit a 2-out double that tied the game at 1 in the bottom of the first. The Braves were able to push across a run in the first. So the first inning runs allowed continues to be a major thing. It's almost like normal now. You're just going to give up a run in the first inning, which is crazy, but it is what's been happening. In the third inning, Ronald Acuna made an incredible jumping catch against Brandon Belt deep in center field. It was hit about 400 feet. So the ballpark just again taking hits away from Brandon Belt and the San Francisco Giants. So in the bottom of the fifth, the Giants had two on and one out and Buster Posey at the plate, and the score was tied 1-1. So this is a moment where you're the key offensive player on the team. You have a chance to come through and give your team the lead, potentially set you up for a win. And Posey grounded into a double play. And my point that I made about a week ago about Longoria doing the same thing in that situation was that, is this because Connor Joe and Michael Reed had like 8 and 16 plate appearances in March and early April? Of course not. So again, all those excuses that the writers are giving to the players and the players complaining about the shuffling of the last roster spot, it's not an excuse. This is why you're losing games, is because your key players are coming up in big spots and doing nothing consistently. It's also because of the starting pitching that was disastrous, but that is why you're losing games. I don't want to hear about how that last guy being shuffled in and out is why we're not doing well. That is just a bogus excuse and unacceptable. Posey did have two hits in this game, so I'm not trying to totally bury him, but we've seen that far too often from several of the quote-unquote core offensive players. Something I failed to mention earlier is that Stephen Vogt was in the starting lineup in left field for this game. It is something that has not happened in a long time, although his previous teams, the Rays and the A's, did use him in the outfield on occasion, but it's been several years since he's done so. And you know what? I don't hate the move, because his bat against right-handed pitching is one of the better options they have to go out there. And you don't want to take Belt out of the lineup. You don't want to take Posey out of the lineup. So it's worth trying him in left field. And I thought he actually looked pretty good out there in this game, as opposed to a guy like Brandon Belt, who, quite frankly, when he goes out there, does not look very good. He does not take good routes. He doesn't look fast. He kind of doesn't cut balls off well. He doesn't go back on balls well. He doesn't come in on balls well. So we've seen a lot of the Giants trying Brandon Belt in left field, and it's commendable that they would try such a thing. But it's also commendable that they would try somebody else in left field. Versatility is key in 2019, and just based on one game, it looks to me like Vogt is a guy I'd rather have out there than Belt. So that's kind of a big deal, and we might see that more often against right-handed pitching. He made a nice catch specifically with runners on second and third and one out in the top of the sixth. It ended up being a sacrifice fly, but he had to go back and to his left and track a ball down on the warning track, and he looked okay out there. I wouldn't say he looked like the greatest left fielder of all time, but he looked like a capable defensive left fielder, whereas Belt does not. So the last note here before we talk about the ninth inning, which we're going to pretty much devote the entire second half to, is that Reyes Maranta came into this game when Anderson gave up two singles to lead off the inning. And again, it was the third time through the order. We see it all the time. And the Giants continue to not be proactive about kind of taking guys out before trouble strikes. And that's why that third time through the order stuff a lot of times has to do with, we're going to take you out even if you're pitching well, because we see this time and time again where certain pitchers, even if they're cruising along, that third time through the order comes around and then a couple guys get on and then you lose the game when those guys score. And that was very likely to be the outcome of this game, because two guys got on. Maranta came in. It was like deep fly ball, so the Braves scored a run. And that was looking like it was going to be enough until the Giants came back in the ninth. But anyway, more about Maranta. He went out in the seventh as well. He got Albies to line out, but then he walked two consecutive batters in Acuna and Swanson. So it's just a note about Maranta, which is that his walk rate continues to be an issue. And that is something in the beginning of the year when those declarations were made that he was the best reliever on the Giants and arguably the best reliever in the National League based on one or two games, we were saying at the time, no, you know what? What's going to keep him from being that is his walk rate. And sure enough, with enough of a sample now at about 20 innings, which is still not a ton, but walk rate tends to stabilize by this point, it's back up at around 13%, and it was at 14% last year. So this is just kind of who he is right now. If he can ever figure out how to stop walking people, that will be a tremendous potential for growth for him. But until that point in time, he's walking about five guys per nine innings, which is too high Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk about the fateful ninth inning for the Giants in which they scored three runs, all with two outs, in order to come back and beat the Braves 4-3 last night. So that's all coming up next, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to recap the ninth inning in which the Giants came back with three runs to beat the Atlanta Braves. There's a lot to digest here, so let's just jump right into it. So Evan Longoria led off the ninth inning with a one-pitch out, and then Brandon Crawford on a two-strike pitch lined a single to left field on a tough slider from Luke Jackson. Steven Duggar then struck out, so the Giants are down to their last out, down by two runs in the ninth inning with Crawford on first base. He advances to second base on defensive indifference, and this was going to be a huge theme of the inning, defensive indifference, although we were going to talk about why it wasn't actually defensive indifference beyond this point. So Kevin Pillar was at the plate representing the Giants' last chance, and he grounded a single up the middle to score Crawford. It was 3-2 with Pillar on first. Now it was the pitcher spot, and so they were able to use Pablo Sandoval. So Sandoval pinch hits, and Kevin Pillar takes second base, and the Braves aren't, like, covering for this. So it's a steal. It's not defensive indifference when that's the tying run. There was a lot of talk on the postgame show about how it might be defensive indifference. Just because the Braves acted indifferently about it doesn't actually make it defensive indifference. It's a stolen base. He's the tying run. So that's a huge 90 feet. So surprising that the Braves were willing to give that up, and it was not the last time we saw this. So as I said, Pillar steals second. Sandoval hits a soft ground ball to the normal shortstop position, but they're shifted over to the right against him. And Donaldson has to make a diving play just to keep it in the infield, which was a tremendous play, and it looked like it saved the game, because if it gets by him, Pillar is going to score and the game would be tied. So then a stroke of genius by Bochy, pinch running with Mac Williamson for Pablo Sandoval. And then Mac Williamson with Joe Panic at the plate was able to steal second base. And again, the Braves didn't even make a throw or cover the bag. Not defensive indifference. They acted indifferently, but that's a stolen base. That's a winning run. So you can't call it defensive indifference. That's a total steal. So all of a sudden, you have Joe Panic at the plate, tying run on third, winning run on second, two outs in the ninth. Luke Jackson, he's got really good stuff. He's thrown a high 80s, low 90s slider and a good fastball as well. And he's got some fuzz, and Joe Panic had a tremendous at-bat. And as many people have said, it's like probably the guy you would want up in that situation, because you know he's going to put it in play. And that in that one scenario is like really what you wanted, because Jackson had such good stuff. So Panic fouled off several tough pitches and worked it to a full count. Although with the winning run on second and an open base at first, they could have thrown anything. They could have bounced a slider. They could have thrown they could have thrown an elevated fastball. They could have tried to nail a corner with a fastball. But Jackson threw a slider that was supposed to be down, and it clipped the bottom part of the zone, but Joe Panic, as locked in as he's been, got the barrel on it and lined it on the ground to the right side just past the dive of the second baseman Albies. Mac Williamson got a tremendous jump off of second base, and even though the ball was hit hard and Markakis was quick to field and throw, the throw was nowhere close. Williamson beat it by a mile, and that was the game. The Giants won when they were down to their last strike. So just overall, a tremendous comeback and much needed for this San Francisco Giants team. And I don't want to be overly negative about a walk-off dramatic win, but if you look at some of the hit probabilities on these balls that were in play in that ninth inning, you see just how unlikely all of this was. Crawford single had an 85% hit probability. That's fine. That was a nice piece of hitting there. But the Kevin Pillar single, 25% hit probability. The Pablo Sandoval infield single, 9% hit probability, and the Joe Panic single, 46%. So all three events were unlikely, especially the Sandoval single and even the Pillar single. And that's based on the exit velocity and launch angle of similar batted balls. That combination is a hit that percent of the time. Sandoval's was hit 53 miles an hour on the ground. So those are rarely hits. 9% of the time do those find a hole somehow. But as I said, it was tremendously exciting, and just what the 2019 Giants needed was a win like this. I've said over and over, this is a really crucial part of the schedule, and so this was a much-needed win. They would have fallen 0-2 in this four-game series, so it wasn't looking good. But overall, just really pleased with what I saw from Sean Anderson, and of course, the comeback was exciting. So we're starting to see intriguing young players show up and get a chance, and that's a good thing. So coming up tonight, the Giants will play the Braves again in game three of this four-game series. Jeff Samardzija on the mound for the Giants, Max Fried on the mound for the Braves. It will be interesting to see Jeff Samardzija and his extremely bad peripherals compared to his good ERA. In this game, the peripherals are suggesting an ERA around 5, but his ERA is 3.69. So it will be interesting to see what we get tonight. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.